Good to be here. Good to be gathered together with the believers, the children of God. There are many today who do not have that privilege and would wish for it. Thank you for your prayers. Do well to keep praying for the situation there in Ukraine. I, too, have been thinking a lot about the situation there, and we wonder, what can we do? Is there anything we can do? Well, I think it'd be good if our congregation would think about that a little bit more. What are ways that we can reach out? We talked a little bit about that this morning, wondering if there's some specific things that we as a congregation can do to help out in the work. Many are pulling together and doing what they can, and so maybe we'll have some more discussion about that later. Some of that, my thinking down that line, and has had a bearing on my thoughts for a message this morning. Invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. This morning I would like to share a message on Jesus' teaching that we find in verses 13 through 16 on showing others the way. I would entitle the message, Salt and Light. There are a number of things that have been drawing my mind to this thought, to this subject the last while. Probably started out a lot with when we went over to Bangladesh for the discipleship conference. And then the first topic in that conference, Brother Brian Mosier shared it. We looked at these verses here in Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16. The title of that subject was Showing Others the Way. And there was quite a bit of discussion on being salt and light. That is one. Yeah, that is kind of where my mind especially got started down this direction. A number of other things as well. I think of what they're going through there in Bangladesh, the believers. I think of the believers who are risking their lives for a calling that they feel is from God, and that is to be a light and tell others of Jesus Christ. There are others that there are individuals that their life is very much at stake in this, particularly those in the camp, I would say would probably be at the most risk, but there are others as well. We don't know what it's like to experience those things. We really do not. Well, we probably don't have a clue what it is like to be in a situation like that. And then thinking about what's taking place in Ukraine and thinking and reading the updates from the people there, to me it is outstanding of the witness that is going out, the testimony that is the testimony that is being left. Missions, people reaching out to help. Even in this time of great danger, again, I don't think we know what it is like to experience what they are going through. And we heard a little bit of that there in what Brian read in that from that one update. Another thing that has helped my contributed to my mind or in thinking of these things is the beginning of this past week. Danny's were in the area and they were at our place and he was telling me a lot of what they face. He is very involved in the billboard evangelism, and he was telling me a lot of the discussions that take place, the questions that people ask, and just what people are saying. Today we have a tremendous opportunity to be a salt and a light in this world that we are living in. We live in a world of darkness. I don't have to say that, but a society that is, well, headed farther and farther away from the light. And I just wonder, I think about it first of all in my own life, are we doing what we can? It's so easy for me to get caught up in the things of this life. Am I really doing what I can? The everyday things of life are important. We can't get away from that. We have our families to raise, and that is a calling. It certainly is. But when you think of what people are going through for the sake of the gospel, it really puts things in a different perspective. And when I hear testimonies, I heard of a number of testimonies, and maybe tonight I'll have an opportunity to share of some. I think of particularly one in Bangladesh that it just when you hear those testimonies of what is taking place in their life, the things that they are facing, it just puts life in a total different perspective. And today we don't have to go to the mission field. We don't have to go to Ukraine. We don't have to go to Bangladesh. We don't have to go to some other country to be a salt and light. We are called to be a salt and light right here. And that is my burden. That is what I would like to convey to us. Are we doing everything we can for those around us and taking out the light of God, the light of the gospel to our neighbors, the community within which God has placed us? We have a calling. It's clear in Scripture. That's my burden that I would like to somehow convey to us. I'd like to begin with reading here in Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The call to you and I this morning is to be a salt and to be light to the earth. Who is Jesus talking to here? You go back to the beginning of the chapter in verse 1. It says, "Then seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him." It says his disciples, the disciples of Jesus, his followers are who he is talking to here. Those that proclaim to be his children, his followers, Christians, following Christ, taking up the example of his life. It says then in verse 2, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. So in this context, we come to verse 13, and he says, ye disciples, you Christians, those that have the gospel message, those that have experienced the plan of salvation, those that know what it is to be redeemed from a life of corruption and sin, you have a message. You have a message to take out, and there is a whole world out there that needs the message, and God is saying, you take it there. It is your responsibility. Is it an option? No. It is our responsibility. It is our calling. It is what we must do. We cannot be saved if we are just going to sit quietly by and not take the message and share that message. And so I'm thankful this morning for the opportunities to take that message and touch thousands of people every day. You think of the workforce of the force that is out there of all God's people spreading the gospel, reaching thousands of lives. Are we a part of that? Let's think a little bit about salt. talk about salt here. Salt is an ingredient that we use. We're familiar with it. We know what it is. It's something that adds flavor. It's something that is made up of a lot of different particles. You shake salt out, and it is a lot of little pieces. It's full of life. Salt adds life to things. It brings out taste. It makes things taste different. It adds a lot of dimension to a lot of things that we enjoy. We use salt. We expect different flavors from different things by adding salt. We love it. It's full of life. It makes a difference. And God is saying, you are that salt. God is saying, I want you to make a difference. I want you to add flavor, if you please, to this life. I want you to be full of life. That is what God is saying to you and I. And so he is asking us as a steadfast, dependable group of people who have experienced the plan of salvation, who have experienced the forgiveness of sins, to take that message out to the dark and sinful world. Salt is also a preserving agent, and God wants us to be that in our society, in our communities. Then we come to this thought of light. He says in verse 14, ye are the light of the world. Jesus is the light. He is the light. He is light. He is the author of light. And we are to be representatives of that light. Light is something that makes vision possible. We know that in darkness, we cannot see. We cannot see very well at all. And that is true in the physical sense, and much, much more so in the spiritual sense. People that are living in darkness, their vision is blinded. They cannot see. They cannot find their way out of that darkness. They do not know what to do. They grope around in their own little world of despair. And it's a spiral that they keep in, or that they're in, and there's no bottom to it. It keeps going and going. And here we are. Jesus is saying to us, you have the light. You know Jesus. You know me as that source of light. You have the answers. You're the one who needs to take the answers to the world, to those in darkness. Be representatives of my light, of me. You know, really, if we have the light, if that light is a part of her, is our life, we will not be able to hide it. We will not be able to do that. How often has it happened to you where someone looked at you and recognized that here's something different? Are you a Christian? Are you a child of God? Here is a Christian person. And they may make some comment or ask questions to that effect. It's going to come forth. It's going to be there. It's going to come out. We're going to make a difference in our communities and society around us. And we want to look at some of that this morning. Again, it is not going to be an option. It is going to happen if we truly have that light within us. And so this morning, again, I've said it a number of times, God is calling us to that. God is calling you. He's calling me. Just a few more thoughts in relation to this idea of having the light and being the light. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. I too wanted to say I appreciated the thoughts that Brother Kevin shared on some of this very subject this morning from Psalms. It was interesting to me to note the connections to some of the things that we wanted to continue thinking about today. But we have this these verses here in Proverbs chapter 4. One verse here, I guess, that I wanted to refer to. Proverbs 4, verse 18 says, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." The path of the just. There are a few thoughts that I want to get here. The path of the just, those that are justified, those that are redeemed. We are justified by Christ. We are sinners who are redeemed because we have reached out to God. We have allowed God to touch our hearts. We have accepted Him. We are not justified by any means by our own abilities or work or anything. No, it's not that. But it is by grace that we are justified. It is the gift that God has given to us. You and I are sitting here this morning. You're sitting here in these church pews with peace in our hearts because it is a gift. That peace is a gift that God has given to us if we have reached out to Him and accepted that in our lives. I trust that is what we are experiencing. I would desire that for every one of us here. We are justified by grace. Now, the question I ask is, do we have a right to just sit here and hoard that to ourselves? I know it is a decision. Finally, every person must come to the decision if they are going to accept that or not. But do we have a right to just sit here and hoard this to ourselves? I don't believe we do. We have a responsibility to share the gospel message with others around us, and we do this in different ways. Hopefully I'll get into that a bit later. But we have the responsibility to share that with others. And when we truly have experienced it, when it truly is a part of our life, the path of the just is as a shining light. I think of those CAM billboard signs that are out there. I'm thankful for what has been allowed down that line. Those that are in charge of that have been able to put up those signs. But those CAM signs along the highway, they stand out to me. I don't know for sure what it is. Well, I probably do, but billboards have not been something that really catch my eye, catch my attention. Billboards don't really catch my attention. But for some reason, those CAM billboards often get my attention. There's something about them that catches my eye. You know what? That is exactly the way our lives are supposed to be. That is the way we need to be in this. Our lives need to be an eye catcher. I hope that they are. Here's someone who has something different about them. I believe that it needs to be in our everyday walk of life, in our neighborhoods and communities, as I've said. Now I'll get more into that. The other thought I would like for us to get from this verse yet is that it shines brighter as time goes on. It's sad, but many, many of the churches of our day, the church today, I'm afraid, is just following a bit behind the world. Behind the world again and again, we see that so many times, and it's growing dark. It seems like the light is getting dimmer in a lot of ways. It seems like maybe it's on a dimmer switch, and the light is going dimmer and dimmer as time goes along. There's more of a seeking of blending in with the world, not standing out so much. And I challenge us in that. I hope that's not where we find ourselves. And I don't think it is, but I believe it's something that we need to think about. I really believe that we would all believe that the world is getting darker and darker. So what should that do? It actually should make us stand out more. It should make us be more of a beacon set on the hill. I really believe that. God wants you and I to be a light that shines brighter and brighter. The path of the just is going to do that. It's going to become brighter and brighter as the darkness closes in. It seems like it's doing that. Seems like the darkness is closing in around us. I think it could very well be that the day is coming when there may be persecution that we could face, where we are tried in ways that we have not known in the past. We have lived a life of peace, and God says that we are to pray for a life of peace, and I think we should continue to do that. But I also believe that we should be preparing our hearts and our minds and our emotions for something different, because I think we are going to start facing it in a real way. It seems like that's where things are headed. Now let's go back to the book of Philippians for a number of thoughts. Philippians chapter 2. And we will be reading verses 13 through 16 as we go along here. Begin reading, first of all, in verse 13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." This morning, God is working in us both to will and to do of his pleasure, not our pleasure, but his good pleasure. God is saying, I want you to be the light, and I want you to be the salt. And the reason I bring this in here is that God is working in us. We are the temple of God, are we not? Yeah, I think we would recognize that. God lives within us. We are the temple of God. God wants to work through us. And many times, I feel like I get in the way. I think we would all echo that. As we think about that, our tendency is to get in the way of God working. We think we have to do the work. And then on the other side of that, sometimes we stumble and we stutter and we hesitate because we say, I'm not capable. What is happening in these cases is that we simply, I believe, are thinking too much of ourselves. And I want to say this morning that I believe every one of us is capable. We are capable of doing the will of God, the pleasure of God, of reaching out and being a salt. God works his will through us. We must just relax and is that saying it in the right way? And let God work. We need to move forward. We need to do what God wants us to do, but we must get ourselves out of the way with our will. Yes, we have to be involved. I understand that. But too many times we come up with excuses like, well, that's someone else's work. They can do it better than I can. I can't do it. I'm just not cut out to do that. That's just not my thing. So-and-so can do it better than I can. He can talk better. I can't talk. I can't talk well enough. Too many times we are just another Moses. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. So if we give our vessels to God, we take opportunities when they come. God is working through us. God is going to get his ways accomplished. He just wants willing workers. Do I find myself there? Verse 14, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." So we see that we are living in a world that needs the gospel. It is a perverse and crooked world. And I find it interesting that God sticks a simple verse like verse 14 in here, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." I pondered that a bit. But have I accomplished that this week? Have you accomplished that this week? I'm not sure that I have. Have you been able to live your life this past week without murmuring, without disputing, without complaining? If I did, if you did, murmur and dispute. Why? Is it because God has not given us enough to be content with? I doubt it. I'd like to read here just a little bit from something you may have read it, something that was written in a Billboard evangelism newsletter that caught my attention. This is what a man who called into a telecounselor had to say. "Everywhere I go from Florida to Montana, I see your billboards," Ezra said to a phone team member. "They follow me everywhere, but the sign that has followed me the most is, 'If you die tonight, heaven or hell.' I think God is trying to get my attention." Ezra acknowledged that he was not a Christian, but he was interested in knowing more about God. Our team member prayed with him on the phone, and then Ezra began to pray. He asked God to help him come into a right relationship with him. When Ezra was offered a packet of gospel literature, he said, "Look," and this is what I want us to catch. He said, "Look, don't send anything that stretches the truth or just makes people feel good. I want the truth." This morning, the world wants truth from us. And they know more than what they want to admit that that's where they can get truth from the children of God. They want the real thing. There is enough counterfeit out there already for them. There are enough false prophets proclaiming the gospel in their own way and for their own benefit. There is enough of that, and society knows that, and they are sick of that. Many of them have tried religion in one way or another, only to find out that the church is full of hypocrites. There's not a complete truth there. Again, this morning I'm just trying to impress upon our mind, as if God can use us, can God use us? And are we truly the light? And if he can, if God can use us and we truly are that light, we are going to be real people and we're going to be a light. We're going to let God's light shine forth. That is what God wants. And the challenge for us to live that way every day of our life, so that our communities, our neighbors that watch us run our business, watch us in our work, watch us how we relate in home life, activities around our home. Maybe there's close enough neighbors that they can hear you holler. What are you hollering about? What are they gathering from what they are seeing, from what they are hearing? I think of that sometimes with the closer neighbors that we have. What do they see and hear as they are going by? What impressions do they have of us? I believe our neighbors know quite well if we are real people or not. They know if we really are the Christian people that we say we are. And so the challenge to us, are we being real? Do we understand that living our life and being real with it is important? We know the expression that more is caught than taught. Another thing I would like to say is Jesus started out saying, "Ye are the salt," talking to us, to Christian people. If those of us that have the real thing do not get involved and do not touch the world, if we have Christ and we have the light, if as Christians, what am I saying here? If as Christians we make no difference to the society around us, then really, we are of no use to God. I believe that. We are of no use to God. We must make a difference to the society around us. God wants people who are involved and who are going to make a difference. And I do believe that we are making a difference in our nation and our communities. But I challenge us that we think about that. We must keep being that light. We must not let it down. We must not hide it under the bushel of the distractions of this life. We must keep making that difference wherever we can, even if it's just in little ways. In John 8, verse 12, you don't have to turn there, but it says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Light and life go together. And according to Another verse here I jotted down, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. We are chosen to show forth the praises of him that hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Well, we already looked at who needs the light. The society around us. The Bible depicts this society around us. They are a people. Matthew 4 puts it this way in verse 16. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. They are doomed in their condition. They are sitting in darkness, and there is doomsday ahead of them is what it is. This should grip our hearts and remind us again of the importance of letting Christ shine forth in our life. In Ephesians 4, verse 18, Paul talks about a people who have their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. My heart goes out to society today. You think of the generation of people that is growing up, and you think of the parents that they had, and you think of what they were taught and what they were raised in. They really weren't taught. They grew up. I believe this verse explains it well. They have their understanding darkened. They really never had a chance. They are alienated from a life of God. Again, they did not have that opportunity, and yet I do believe that God speaks to every heart through his Spirit sometime in life. I believe there is that. And may we be that light that is there that can guide those seeking souls. That is where you and I come into focus. Maybe it is through us, the light that comes through us, that they will see any light if there is hope for them. Well, it's time to start bringing this to a close, but I'd like to go yet for a number of thoughts yet to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You can turn with me there, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Read verses 1 through 7. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, talking about the disciples, followers of God, having this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, there are about five things, I believe, that I would like to bring to our attention. Verse 1 says that we have this ministry. We received it with mercy, and it says that we faint not. I would like to encourage us this morning. In, what's it been, approximately 30 years of this congregation, a lot of effort has been made in reaching out. It was a specific reaching out effort that instigated the starting of this congregation. A lot of efforts were put forth in reaching out to individuals' lives. There were people who came and were a part of us for a while, and we know what happened to some of them. Some, again, have fallen by the wayside. It has caused heartache and pain. A lot of efforts went into this work by numerous individuals. And because of some of that, as we look at that and see how many have fallen by the way, you know, that can cause discouragement. We can come to the place where we take the attitude of what is the use, and we get discouraged. I read somewhere of the estimated number of phone calls that come in out of all the people that drive by CAM's billboards. And that percentage is very, very low. My point is this. We put a lot of effort into something to only have a few respond. But let's not allow that to discourage us. Let's in our minds realize that this work is the Lord's work, and it's going to take a lot of effort, and there's not going to there's not going to be a lot of pay if we are going to look at it that way, by the people that, by how many people respond. But there are other ways that it pays. There is a lot of spiritual growth that comes out of that comes our way, and other ways as well. And so let's not allow these things to cause us to faint. You know, I think of going to the rescue mission every other month, and we may wonder what comes out of that. What value is that? Well, I believe there is a lot of value. We may wonder, is it even making a difference? I believe it is. I'm convinced that it is. I'm convinced that it does make a difference. And certainly we all probably know or have seen of, you know, incidences where it has made a definite difference. But it is our responsibility to plant the seeds. We don't have to see the harvest. And I want to encourage us in these areas. Let's not faint. Just look at here in this building. Look at the workforce that we have here. What a tremendous opportunity we have of reaching out and allowing the light of God to touch a lot of individuals. Let's not faint in the work and say that, you know, say, what is the use anyway? The second thing I want to notice is in verse 2, where it says, "But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth." And this goes back to the thought of that man, what was his name, Ezra, who told that telecounselor that he wanted truth. We need to be living a life above reproach if we are to be a salt and light in the community around us. Our neighbors, the people who are around us, probably know better than we do if our life is above reproach. They see it by the business deal that they have with us. They know if that deal was simply about all the money that was in it for us that we could make. They know if we are concerned about them, those individuals that we come in contact with each day, know if we are concerned about their well-being, about their, not only their spiritual well-being, but their physical well-being as well. They know that very quickly. The challenge for you and I is, are we renouncing the hidden things of dishonesty and not walking in craftiness? Or do we push it a little here and a little there in our favor? Are we willing to make sacrifices for the manifestation of the truth of God? That is where people like Ezra are crying out and saying, I want the truth. If it is not a manifestation of the truth, they will more than likely walk off and say, "It's just another hypocrite out there." They can tell as well if we're not living the life that we say that we are. They can tell it by our actions. Our actions speak louder than words many times. This morning, let's be real. The third thing I want us to notice, and I touched on this a bit already, verse 4 says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." There is another power source that is really working in our world today, and we're aware of that. Satan is very busy. He has blinded minds. He has deceived people. And he is going to keep that up as much as he can. He will keep doing that. And we know that is what is happening. Somehow we have to reckon with that. Somehow we have to realize that and understand that and rise to the challenge. And that takes us to the fourth thing in verse 5, where it says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." We are the servants of Jesus Christ. We cannot get away from that. If we are going to be real, if we are going to be a true light and salt, we do not have the strength in and of ourselves to do it. We don't have the strength in and of ourselves to fight the enemy. We do not have what it takes in just ourselves to make the difference in lives of people. It is only as we take the message of Jesus Christ, preach Jesus Christ. Yes, we want people to, we would desire people to come to our church. We want people to join us here. We believe that we are a part of the Church of Jesus Christ. But the focus must be Jesus. If we do that and we walk in the truth ourselves, then hopefully people will see past our weaknesses and see people who care and share and people who are truly trying to live out as God would direct. I trust that we can be servants for Jesus' sake. The fifth thing I want us to see is in verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. You know, we are human and we fail. We fail again and again. But again, we need to realize that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Well, just a few practical things yet. How does all this work out in our communities? One of the things that I think about when I think about salt is that salt needs to make contact in order to work. Salt will not work until it makes contact. And when it makes contact, it dissolves and it takes hold and it works and there's life and things start to happen. You get the picture. This morning, we need to put forth effort to make contact. Nothing will happen if we do not make contact. Very little will happen. Yes, people can see, but are we making contact? I believe that can be done in many ways. Salt is made up of many grains. That is like the Church of Jesus Christ. Our church is made up of many individuals. We live in different places. We all have neighbors. We affect their lives. Add them up. A lot of people that we touch. We need to do that. We all have responsibility to make contact with those around us. And there are many ways. There are a lot of discouraged people out there. There are a lot of old people around us. There are a lot of needs in our communities. There are a lot of people who are poor. There are a lot of people who are hurting. There are people who need help right around us. What do you and I do when we go out of these doors and when we go out of the doors of our homes? Do we go right back into our own busy world? I realize, again, as I said before, that we have a responsibility to make a living and provide for our own, but I wonder sometimes, do I have the right balance? Are my priorities set right? I certainly do not have all the answers to this, but I wonder sometimes when it comes to this of being a salt and a light in our communities, are we so wrapped up and so busy that we don't have time to stop and talk to the neighbor and reach into his needs? Guess what? Our neighbors know that. Do our neighbors know us for always being busy? Are we touching? Are we the salt that we should be? It comes down to this thing. Let's just go to Matthew 6, verse 15. In closing, Matthew 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That is the core of the matter. That is what it comes down to. Where our treasure is, where our heart is. Is my treasure my hobby? Is my treasure my job? Put in there whatever affects you. Or is my treasure the lost souls around us that need a Savior? Is it those people who are discouraged and hurting? Is that my treasure? I need that challenge this morning. He goes on to say in verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. The focus of our eye is what determines the light that is within us. I believe that is what this verse is saying. Where is our focus? Verse 23, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? we're going to be a light and a salt to those around us, then our eyes are going to have to be looking for the right things. Our eyes are going to have to be taken off of ourselves. And I'd just like to let that challenge with us. I'll just say here yet, I'm burdened by, we all know we're facing, you know, things here. We're facing some, are facing some things here that are difficult. Could it be that we are looking too much at ourselves? And I say that first of all to myself. I believe that if we followed the guidelines that God has set forth in reaching out, being a light to this dark world, taking our eyes off of ourselves, that maybe things would be different. And I just let that with a challenge. First of all, to myself, I feel like I have been looking too much at things that affect me, looking too much at my own life, getting too wrapped up in things that don't matter. And that is my burden. God wants to use us in helping to meet the needs around us. And I believe as we do that, God will bless. God will bless this congregation. He will bless us as individuals if we reach out to the needs around us. We must hold forth the cross. It is not an option. God is calling you and I to be a salt and light, and may it be to His honor and glory. Let's kneel together in prayer.